The urban renewal projects that happened across the United States decades ago displaced families and tore apart communities. Dr. Mindy Thompson Fully Love says that displacement also caused trauma that continues to this day. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Dr. Fully Love will speak at the Cincinnati Museum Center at 6:30 p.m., November 6th, to talk about her research and explain how the history of Cincinnati's West End and the interstate project that tore through the neighborhood fits within a larger national context. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about the history of displacement and its continuing impact are social psychiatrist and author Dr. Mindy Thompson Fully Love. Welcome, Dr. Fully Love.
Good to be here.
Great to have you. The Seven Hills Neighborhood Houses Executive Director, Alexis Kidd-Zafer. Thanks for being here, Alexis.
Thank you as well.
And University of Cincinnati Assistant Professor of History, Ann Delano Steinert. Welcome back, Ann.
Thanks, Lucy.
UC is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Dr. Fully Love, displacement has happened all over the country. We've seen it here in Cincinnati's West End. You'll be talking about root shock. Explain what root shock is.
It's a term that gardeners invented to talk about plants that were too rudely ripped out of the ground and their roots were injured. And so when they tried to transplant them, the plants, you know, went into a state of shock and could die. It seemed to me that that was a good analogy for what happens to people whose neighborhoods are destroyed. So I borrowed the term from them, and I defined it in this human context as what happens to people who go through the destruction of some or all of their emotional ecosystem. So that's what I use the term to mean.
In your book, which is called Root Shock, How Tearing Up City Neighborhoods Hurts America and What We Can Do About It, your book was published 20 years ago. What, if anything, has changed about your understanding of all of this since then?
Oh, really good question. At the time, and when I published it in 2004, I said that I thought that displacement would be a core problem of the 21st century. What I didn't foresee was climate change, and that, in fact, the climate of the whole Earth changing would mean that 8 billion people are having root shock, have been displaced from the world as we knew it. That's the biggest change since I wrote the book.
And Anne, this concept of root shock, as Dr. Fully Love has explained, the way she uses it stems from displacement. Decades ago, this displacement was referred to as urban renewal. Talk about the Kenyon Barr Urban Renewal Project in Cincinnati and the impact it had on Cincinnati's West End.
Sure. So urban renewal in Cincinnati targeted really the lower portion of the West End below Ezra Charles Drive for a total redesign, a switch from a densely packed, vital urban neighborhood home to just over 25,000 African, largely 97% African American residents of the city, and a switch to a center for light industry. So that's what we know today as Queensgate. And if you think about the kind of architecture and street life and vibrancy that we see in Over the Rhine today, that's what this neighborhood was like before it was really wholesale demolished beginning in 1959.
So how many people were displaced? How many places were torn down for this, you know, project?
So for residential buildings, there were 2,759 residential buildings, and a total of 25,737 people were displaced as per the final report that the City Planning Commission published. So those are the stats that we have. Hmm. It's a lot of people lost their homes. Yeah.
Alexis, Ann was just talking about the thousands of housing units that were demolished, the thousands of people who were displaced as a result of this project. What kind of lingering impact has that had on the West End?
The trauma is still there, and also the fear of it happening again is still within people. They had relatives that were moved out. Some of them were relocated and were able to come back, and different housing options and housing choices, but it's always ruminating within our residents. And that was something that was visible also during the time of the apology from the city, when residents who had long been displaced as children came back, and you could still hear the hurt and the pain in those individuals who were no longer in the neighborhood. That still exists in those that are hanging on right now.
You mentioned that apology. That was just a few years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was June of 2023.
What kind of impact did that apology have on the neighborhood, Alexis?
I think it was significant in a sense that finally recognizing and speaking the truth, because oftentimes what we heard from residents is you're operating your feelings or those are just your emotions. But the reality of what happened was true. So even as children, as young people that were displaced and remembering what the results were for their families, it was acknowledged. And so I think it was truly significant for the city to actually take that step for West End.
Dr. Fulilove, your work has shined light on the multiple impacts of urban renewal, financial, political, psychological. Let's talk about the financial. What impact did this kind of displacement have on the African-American communities that lived in these places that were demolished for highways and other projects?
Urban renewal is a vast program. It's carried out in 993 American cities, 2,532 projects, directed at working class neighborhoods, largely Black and Hispanic. And it comes in and bulldozes a whole neighborhood. So it destroys everything. It destroys the homes people have. It destroys the businesses they've built. It destroys their clubs, their churches, their schools. And it throws people into diaspora. So the costs are financial. The costs are cultural. The costs are social. The costs are political. So an organized neighborhood, and certainly one the size of the West End in Cincinnati, had enough people to have a council person. When the neighborhood is bulldozed and they're thrown into diaspora, they lose that political representation and they lose that political power. Similarly, in the neighborhoods I've visited and I've read about, there were always jazz clubs. And the jazz circuit went through those neighborhoods. So that's the economic and musical ecosystem of jazz. People say, oh, we don't know why jazz collapsed in the United States in the 1950s. But part of it is that the jazz clubs were bulldozed in all these neighborhoods. By my estimate, only 1 in 10 of the jazz clubs was able to survive. So the losses are vast. And I think people get that if you go bulldoze a poor neighborhood, the people there lost something. What's harder for people to understand, because we don't think very ecologically, is what it did to the cities and to the United States as a whole. You can't go in and bulldoze a neighborhood and the city is unaffected. The city is weakened. The city is impoverished by this. And so we have the problem of seeing that, right? We cut off our nose, but you know that old expression, you cut off your nose to spite your face. And that's what we did in urban renewal. And we're still counting the costs for our nation and for all the people who were in those neighborhoods. We have to look at multiple levels of scale to understand the full impact of this terrible program.
Alexis, how do you see those impacts carrying over to the present in the West Side?
So I definitely see the loss of grandma's house, per se, being an issue for families and having that place, and also that generational wealth opportunity. That's something that's been an issue and something that our city's trying to correct, but it's still plaguing that Black home ownership is just at a low, and especially in the West End. And so we're really trying to rectify that and work with the city to figure out different ways to get home ownership up, especially for African Americans in our community. But it's definitely something that we're feeling because we are heavy on rentals due to the urban renewal, but it's something that we want to see flip again in our neighborhood. We'll see if it's possible.
If I could just jump in and say one thing, just to pull together a couple things that Dr. Fulilove said and Alexis said, is that one of the things that happened in Cincinnati, is that people didn't, African-Americans who were displaced from the lower part of the West End didn't stay in the West End. They became this dispersed African-American diaspora throughout the city, which means that all of their community networks were destroyed or their bonds were loosened. Their kids are in new schools. They are traveling further to their job, all those things. And so I think when we think about the apology that happened in 2023, one of the important pieces for me is to understand that the apology isn't just to those folks who are left today in the West End, who are incredibly important and, of course, are part of it. But Cincinnati's, those displaced folks moved to all kinds of neighborhoods throughout the city, Avondale, Evanston, Walnut Hills, Mount Auburn, over the Rhine. And that really taking care of that entire African-American diaspora and figuring out how do we lift them up make up for this broken promise. The city promised that it would help people who were displaced find new housing that was modern and that they could afford. And then in the end, they were not able to do that. And so that's really the root of the apology, is that sort of broken promise. And I think what we need to think about is, how do we create systems moving forward that help the entire African-American diaspora in the city of Cincinnati?
And historically, before the Kenyon Bar Urban Renewal Project, Cincinnati's West End had an economically diverse population. Right. Doctors and other professionals were living in the same neighborhood as working class people who were less affluent. Was that kind of community recreated when people were forced to move? And what did that loss mean for people?
Right. So the West End was a really self-contained African-American enclave that had food stores, bars, restaurants, barbershops, funeral homes, churches, all kinds of stores. And no, when people were displaced, many of them lost their businesses or took a long time to get their business restarted in a new place, had to rebuild their client base. So no, that I don't think Cincinnati ever saw a revival of that real vitality that the West End had. Of course, you know, there are neighborhoods like Avondale and Evanston and other places with black business districts, but they were much more dispersed and less dense and vibrant than what we would have known in the West End.
And Dr. Fully Love, what's the political impact of that, the destruction of that kind of economically diverse community?
The United States is in a moment of really great polarization. And some of the polarization has arisen from processes in the United States like urban renewal and highway construction and others, which in a process historian Tom Hanchett calls sorted out our cities, meaning that they reorganize the cities by race and class so that we don't live in diverse neighborhoods. We live in monocultures. And this means we don't meet each other, we don't know each other, we don't understand each other, and we tend to not like each other. And that's what we're seeing all across the United States. It's quite an unhealthy way to try to run a society. So that's really, I think, the destroying a diverse neighborhood is, in urban renewal, is part of a process of destroying diverse neighborhoods and isolating us by race, by our race class group. So we don't know each other. It's just a huge, huge problem. It's, as a social psychiatrist, it has worried me for two decades that we've been doing that.
Alexis, let's talk more about Cincinnati's West End today. There's been new development with the construction of FC Cincinnati's stadium. What has that meant for the numbers of people living in the neighborhood, for housing costs?
So, of course, even before FC hit, the West End became a targeted area and a high commodity area when OTR began to price individuals out. People saw the benefits of living back down into town and actually having the opportunity to not have to pay for parking. I have a backyard. And so the appeal for the West End began to grow. And then when FC came, it definitely blew up from there. And so we still have a lot of speculators and individuals. Our prices are growing higher than any other neighborhood. In terms of the percentage of growth and the cost, where you used to be able to get a shell of a property for $15,000 to $30,000. And so it's very costly to live in the West End. It's not an easy, obtainable housing stock. Everyone's kind of grabbing at what's left. And so it's pretty expensive, even for the work that we're trying to do in terms of giving opportunities for home ownership again. One, being in a historic neighborhood and properties being vacant and blighted for so long, the cost of rehabbing is a pretty costly task. And so individuals who are more affluent can have opportunity to do it and have funds to do it, have an easier opportunity to move into the neighborhood. And so we're having to create the opportunity for individuals who aren't on the higher end of economic spectrum, also working with Habitat to try to get more houses in the neighborhood. But it's really become just a little crazy in terms of how expensive it is, one, to rehab homes, and two, to even just purchase something in the West End.
And Dr. Fully Love has talked about this polarization we have in the nation, how she, you know, her research points to how urban renewal and this displacement has just exacerbated that. University of Cincinnati is bringing her to town on November 6th for this talk that we referred to earlier. Why do you feel like her work is so important to highlight here and now?
Oh my gosh. So Rootshock is 20 years old this year. We're celebrating this amazing anniversary of this like powerful foundational work in helping us understand the impacts of urban renewal in American life. I just cannot overstate how influential her book has been. It really started the ball rolling for those of us who look at urban renewal and think about the damage that it's done to our cities and to our citizens. It's really a foundational piece of literature. So, I'm honored that we get to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the book with her. I think that Cincinnati has a lot to learn from her work. I think people in Cincinnati who have been born here and lived here their whole lives don't really understand the way our city is very polarized. We are sort of assimilated into it and just kind of take it for granted. And having outsiders come and talk to us about the ways that our city may not be functioning at its best is, I think, really important and really powerful. And I would really encourage folks to come out and listen to Dr. Full of Love.
Well, I've been talking with social psychiatrist and author Dr. Mindy Thompson Fully Love, the Seven Hills Neighborhood House's executive director, Alexis Kidd-Zafer, and University of Cincinnati assistant professor of history, Ann Delano Steiner. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Fully Love's talk, entitled Root Shock, The Trauma of Displacement in the United States and Cincinnati's West End, is Wednesday, November 6th. You can find a link with details on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Asiya Johnson. Technical director today is Stephen Baum. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.